Lovely to see you all. My name's Rich, for those that don't know me, and a really warm welcome from me to any of you that are new or visiting. I hope that you leave like that chap last week left, feeling blessed. And if you haven't felt blessed, come and tell me. We want to know, right? We want people to feel blessed when they come and meet us. And I'm sure we've got things to learn and ways that we can improve in helping you feel blessed when you come and into our community. Before I speak, I'm just going to ask God to help us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day that helps us remember that we need you. The church would never have started, would never have been birthed without the Holy Spirit falling on a prayer meeting 2,000 years ago. And I pray that 2,000 years later, here today, as we gather to pray, in your name, that your Spirit would fall on us. We pray the ancient words that have been prayed by countless gatherings in your name. Holy Spirit, come. Come and bring your word to life to us this morning. Breathe into us. Take my words and breathe life into them. For your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, we are on Pentecost Sunday, so this morning we are going to kick off a series looking at worship. And this morning I want us to look at Holy Spirit-filled worship. And I wonder what that word worship conjures up for you, what it brings to mind. I wonder what your experience of worship here at Cogs Church is. I want to qualify the word this morning by saying what I mean is enjoying the Father. Enjoying Father God. When we worship, we come and we enjoy God. And God absolutely loves it when we come and do that together, which is why we gather together every week. Some of you have got into a habit of coming to church and maybe you've forgotten why you come. Maybe it's just become routine. But the reason we come is because God desires us to come and enjoy him together. There's something about coming together as family. And some of you might have had bad experiences of family. Maybe you've grown up with dysfunctional families who'd never really enjoyed time together. Maybe some of you have had really amazing experiences of families coming together and enjoying time together. But I want to encourage you that this can be a new experience for you with God the Father. And we can only do that with the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's left his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us to enjoy the Father and allows us to connect with God the Father through Jesus Christ. So what do you think of worship at Cogs Church? Does it help you to enjoy God the Father? You don't need to answer that out loud, because some of you might say no. And that's okay if you say no. But I want to ask you to think and search why that is. What if there is ever a point at which you've thought, really, I just don't enjoy this worship experience when I come to Cogs Church, whether it's on a Sunday or whether it's at any other point in our church calendar. But I wonder why that is. Maybe it's that you're sensitive to noise. Catherine and I, my wife Catherine, have different sensitivity to noise. I like it loud, she likes it quiet, which makes it interesting in the car when we have the radio on. It also makes it difficult when I get a little bit anxious. I love to tap. I love to just play little rhythms with my fingers. And it drives her mad. She hates it. And that's probably the most common thing I'm told off for is my tapping. Some of us are sensitive to loud noise. And that's just because we're different. We're wired differently. But it does pose a bit of a problem, because often when the church comes together, we can get a bit noisy. And there's an old preacher called A.W. Tozer, who some of you might have heard of. And he said that, I'm reading his words because hopefully you won't hate me. It's easier to read someone else's challenge. And he says this, I would warn those who are cultured, quiet, self-possessed, poised, and sophisticated that if they are embarrassed in church when some happy Christian says, Amen, they may actually be in need of some spiritual enlightenment. The worshipping saints of God in the body of Christ have often been a little bit noisy. I want us to look at two examples in the Bible of Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers. We're going to start in John chapter 20, and I think I'll tell you what the page number is so that it'll help you find it quicker. So we're on page 1089 in the Bibles that you should find around your chairs. It'd be great if you could open one and have it in front of you or turn it on your phone or whatever. John chapter 20. But before we start with that, the other passage we're going to read is Acts chapter 2, which is a few pages on in the next book. And Acts chapter 2 is the story that we remember today. Pentecost Sunday, it's the story of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falling on the disciples in an upper room. And it describes the sound of a violent wind. And then when the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, they get a bit noisy and they start speaking in tongues, and it draws a crowd. And some people are compelled and find it amazing, and some actually start ridiculing the disciples. And when we get a bit noisy as a church, some will find it attractive and think, wow, what's going on? I want to be part of this. And some will get annoyed and go to a different church or go to a different service. But I want to encourage you that when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, often we get a bit noisy. And so we're going to start with John chapter 20. So This is before Jesus has gone up to heaven. He's risen from the grave. So he's meeting with his disciples. And the context is set out in verse 19. And I want you to read this verse and then think, what is the state of the disciples' hearts? So verse 19 of John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So this is probably, I imagine they've met together a few times, but it's fairly soon after Jesus has been crucified and 3 days later came back to life again. And the Jewish leaders had wanted Jesus dead. Now he seems to be walking around alive. The Romans had wanted to make sure that this story was quashed and didn't want the fact that Jesus had risen out of the grave to get out, the news to get out. So they would have been on the lookout for anyone who were aligning themselves with Jesus. And so it's understandable that the disciples were afraid. But this is the state of their hearts. Their hearts are full of fear, such that the doors are locked. I'm really glad that our door is open this morning. If it was closed, I'd have asked someone to go and open it, because it's really important that that we don't shut the doors when we worship together. We don't protect ourselves from the world because of fear. Now, there are legitimate reasons why they were fearful. People were out to kill them, to put them in prison, to make fun of them, to ridicule them. We've seen today another reason why people in this country are fearful, potentially fearful. There are good reasons to be fearful. I can understand why people who were getting ready to go out into town yesterday for the turning, evangelizing on the streets of Whitney, I can understand why they're fearful. You know, it's just not in our culture to go up to strangers unless you're canvassing for a political party. But it's not in our culture to go up to strangers and tell people that God loves them. And we don't know how they're going to react. And it's amazing hearing that there's real receptiveness to Jesus. People are just blessed. The majority of them anyway are blessed when they hear that Jesus loves them. But I can understand why people are fearful. And this will really affect the way you experience the Holy Spirit. We read on that this doesn't stop Jesus from giving his disciples the Holy Spirit. And he says, again, Jesus, this is in verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, at the moment, the church hasn't started. So there's no obvious fruit from this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder whether this has something to do with the state of the disciples' hearts. Is your heart completely open for the Holy Spirit to fill you, or is there other stuff in there blocking? It's not about how much of the Holy Spirit you have, but about how much of you the Holy Spirit has to fill. I believe the root of fear is a need to be in control. And that is something that I struggle with personally, this sense of needing to be in control of situations, of family dynamics. I find it incredibly hard when my son answers back and doesn't do as he's told, because it undermines my need to be in control. And I wonder how that root of needing to be in control, I wonder how that expresses in your life. Is it in fear? Is it in apathy, arrogance? Someone once said, the difference between us and God is that God doesn't ever think that he's us. Sometimes we want to be God and we want to be in control. And that really stops the Holy Spirit being able to fill our hearts, to fill us from the tips of our toes to the tops of our heads and fill our being. But it doesn't stop Jesus giving his Holy Spirit. And I believe all Christians, when they choose to trust in Jesus, are given the Holy Spirit. There's no class system. There's no tiers of Christianity where you've got to work your way up to being a first-class Christian when you've got the Holy Spirit. I believe every Christian is given the whole of the Holy Spirit. He gives himself fully to us when we choose to follow Jesus. And yet, what often prevents the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in our lives is because we don't allow enough room in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to come and fill. And I don't know if you've ever been and stayed at an Airbnb property, but sometimes I think you can tick whether it's room only or entire home on the website. And if you've ever stayed in a room only, it can feel really difficult, because usually you don't get access to the kitchen, you don't get access to the living room, sometimes you don't get access to the loo. That's not a great experience, is it? And when you're moving in, now the Holy Spirit wants to move in. And the Bible talks about him coming and living in us, coming and finding a home in us. But are we just giving him room only? Or are we giving him the entire property of our being? I want to contrast this story of Jesus encountering the fearful disciples and giving his Holy Spirit. I want to contrast this with Acts. Acts, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. And I want to just illustrate this by talking about two different kinds of donut. I think I talk about donuts too much, which is probably a problem. But if you've ever bought a budget donut, it's incredibly disappointing. It sounds cheap and promising, but in the end, you end up with mostly dough and a tiny little bit of jam in the middle. Anyone had that experience and just thought, what was the point? I may as well have gone for a ring. Don't call it a jam donut when there's only that much jam. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet spend a lot more and get a Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kremes leave you satisfied, in my experience. I went to a church before coming here where we had Krispy Kremes at the evening service. We had to pay for them, mind, but it was worth it. And I believe that the disciples in John chapter 20 end up a bit like budget donuts. They've received the Holy Spirit, but they haven't really opened up their hearts fully to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. And let's look at the state of the disciples' hearts just before they receive the Holy Spirit for the second time at Pentecost. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And this tells us a little bit about the context, the new context that they are about to experience the Holy Spirit for the second time. So it's verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Constantly in prayer. Does that describe your life? Are you filled with fear, or are you constantly in prayer? You can probably be both. And yet, there seems to be a difference here about who's being given control. I think when you pray a lot, what you're doing is you're saying, God, you're in control. I'm not. And I think this sets up for chapter 2. And we read in verse 1, chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And remember, they're constantly in prayer. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to, speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I think they're Krispy Kreme donuts. They are fully filled with the Holy Spirit because their hearts were fully open to the Holy Spirit. They're no longer filled with fear. And they start telling people about Jesus. And we see further on in this chapter, Peter gets up and starts preaching to a crowd who have gathered. And he starts preaching about Jesus and how they need to come and repent of their sins and turn and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then we see the fruit of this. The fruit of a Krispy Kreme donut Christian is in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You have all of the Spirit, but does the Spirit have all of you? This will drastically affect our worship. I think the extent to which you enjoy the Father when we come together is largely dependent on how much you've given control over to the Holy Spirit. And just before I finish, I just want to draw our attention to one of our ways of worshiping God, and that is by taking communion. We're not doing it in this service this week, but that'll happen next week in this service. But I just encourage you, if you want to experience taking communion today, come along this evening, because we have an opportunity to take communion at our evening service. But there's something about what we fill ourselves with, what we consume. I've been on a low-sugar diet, or at least trying to be on a low-sugar diet, ever since I came out of hospital last term. And I was trying to retrain my body and raise my energy levels. And beforehand, I used to, whenever I had an energy low, I'd just have a sugary snack, a chocolate bar or something like that. And I'd have an instant high, but then a quick drop. And I'd have an energy low. And my days were like this all the time, highs and lows. And ever since I've started having a lower sugar diet. My energy level seems to have plateaued, and I've just been able to sustain energy throughout the day. I get to the end of the day, I don't need to collapse on the sofa, I can keep going. And it's made such a difference. It makes a big difference what you fill yourself with. So are we filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit? Is he worth being filled with? There's words in the communion service that say this: send your Spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with open eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcome at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we come and take communion, we consume the Holy Spirit. We are filled. So is he worth being filled with? Is he a good person? The Bible talks about him being a person, but is he good? Is he worth it? Who's better at controlling your life, you or the Holy Spirit? That's what it comes down to in the end. The way you will respond today, it was dependent on whether you think he's worth being filled, whether he's worth giving that control. Who's better at being able to save you when things go wrong, when you experience the pit of depression, when you experience a tragedy, when you experience loneliness, financial ruin? The list can go on, but who's better at saving you in those situations? Is it you? Or is it the Holy Spirit? And then the ultimate trial that we all face one day is death. So far, I've not heard of any human that's managed to save themselves from death, apart from one. Apart from one, and his name is Jesus. And he's left his Spirit to be with us. He is the only one who can save you. I'd commend him to you this morning. Put him at the center. Fill yourself with him. Give him space. And that's going to involve some sacrifice, because it's going to involve putting to death some of you, getting some of yourself out of the center, humbling ourselves. So as we come and respond now by giving some space to worship, to enjoy God the Father, why not come and open your heart? Using the words that we say at the beginning of a communion service, perhaps. The Lord is here, his Spirit is with us. And we lift our hearts to the Lord. Who's been in control up until now? And who would you like to be in control going forward? Amen.